Big Sloth.
He used the stones again.
Hey, we'd be going in short-handed, you know?
Look, he's still got the stones, so...
So let's get him. Use them to bring everyone back.
Just like that.
Yeah, just like that.
Even if there's a small chance that we can undo this, I mean, we owe it to everyone who's not in this room to try.
If we do this, how do we know it's going to end any differently than it did before?
Because before you didn't have me.
Hey, new girl, everybody in this room is about that superhero life. And if you don't mind my asking, where the hell have you been all this time?
There are a lot of other planets in the universe. And unfortunately, they didn't have you guys.
Hobo Radio, the official podcast of HoboTrashCan.com. You can share your thoughts on the show anytime by emailing Joel at murphyslaw@hobotrashcan.com.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to Hobo Radio. So stay tuned.
And now, two guys with worse jokes than me, Joel Murphy and Lars.
Hello again, I'm Joel Murphy, this is Hobo Radio, and with me, once again, is the lovely Lars Periwinkle.
Hello, what can I do for you?
I'll take a you know, chicken sandwich, large fry, Diet Coke.
Sir, I'm the receptionist at a law firm.
Oh, man, I didn't know we were going to do some of our classic improv to start.
No, we are. The classic improv where I deny immediately.
By the way, you know what pisses me off, like, while I'm thinking about it? This is, by the way, the whole show is going to be about Avengers Endgame. So if you haven't seen it, this is opening part. Enjoy this, because this is going to be the only part that doesn't spoil the movie. So this is, this is a little, like, a little amuse-bouche of non-spoilery. But when you go to a fast food restaurant and they have curly fries and regular fries, one, why do they have that? Yep. And two, who is ordering regular fries?
I will answer you. I'll answer that question the same way you answer the question, why don't some people like breakfast food? And that is,
they're bad
people. People are idiots.
They're wrong.
People are idiots, and they don't know what's up. Because here's the thing. You don't like curly fries. Okay, you don't like curly fries.
They're just fries that taste better. I don't even understand, like...
I'm trying to be understanding, but as soon as the words left my mouth, I don't know why you don't like curly fries.
It's like if you liked hamburgers but not cheeseburgers. Like, who are you? Like, what? I like a thing, but like the inferior version of it.
Hold on, because some people are lactose intolerant.
No, but that's different. That's not what I said. If you're lactose,
I get that. Okay, that is not what you said, but I just want to say that's why they have the option.
Sure, that makes sense. But you're not. What are you, flavor intolerant? Like, what? I want this thing that's delicious, but I want a stripped down, not tasty version of it.
Yeah, I don't get it, but let's assume for the sake of argument that these people are sane and worth bringing along with us on this journey we call life.
Okay. I'm going to give the benefit of that doubt. Here's one more.
Yep. Go ahead.
I was just going to say one more before we get into the spoiler part. This was in my head, and I thought maybe you could help. I was thinking.
Hold on. I wasn't done with the fries.
Oh, then you do the fries, and then I have another thought.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Okay, cool. Teaser. I'm not done with the fries by a long shot. I could do 45 minutes.
Okay. What if we just marked this as spoilery, and then we never talked about Avengers Endgame this whole show? It'd be kind of amazing. Except right at the end, then we give like one really terrible spoiler once everyone's guard is down.
This was crazy. And remember, so if a place offers regular fries and curly fries, here's what I want you to know. their regular fries are not going to be like fries that are from a place that only have one type of fries. They're going to be more than subpar. They're going to be bad.
Right.
They're just going to be like unseasoned potato wedges.
No, they're punishment fries. They're sending you a message about your bad decisions.
We put effort towards our fries. We don't even consider these French fries. These are just the things that we give to people that come to our place of business that we don't like. And we know we don't like them because they didn't order the damn curly fries. Get the curly fries. If you're going to a place that has curly fries, get the damn curly. If you don't like curly fries, don't go there if you want yeah. French fries with your damn burger. And put some cheese on the burger if you're able to eat cheese. I don't.
And probably bacon.
I am so tolerant, I'd like to think, of people's personal preferences, except when it comes to food and they're doing shit that doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Well, I mean, at that point, if you're not getting curly fries, don't get fries. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't judge you for that. If you were like, you know, it's a fast food place, so really pathetic, just some greens and like some shaved carrots, and we're calling it right. A side salad or something. They don't really offer any real options that aren't fries. But
well, if you're going to a place that has really good pulled pork and you always like French fries with your pulled pork sandwich, but this particular place only offers curly fries and you're not a fan of curly fries, but you love the pulled pork and you just go there and you get the sandwich, boom, done. Done. But if not, just get a bag of chips. You know, they got they got a rack right there with some chips they can just pull off and throw in your direction. Go for it.
Yeah.
But don't get the barbecue ones. See, I'm sorry. If you get a pulled pork sandwich and then barbecue flavored potato chips, what's the point? It's going to sully the sauce that's on the.
Yeah, they're not. Those aren't complimentary. They're just different. You're going to get real barbecue sauce on the pulled pork sandwich and then some sort of artificial powder that approximates. But yeah, it's Uncanny Valley territory. You'll just notice how much not barbecue sauce the chips actually taste like.
I worked with a guy. We were stopping for lunch someplace. And like, we actually have time to stop for like, we can get some food today, not just like whatever. Like, let's stop for lunch. And I suggested this Peruvian chicken place that I happen to enjoy. And he says, cool, yeah, let's do that, Peruvian chicken. I'm like, all right, cool. So go in there and I get my standard. I get my half a chicken, my plantains and my yucca. And you get the green sauce and the white sauce. That's my jam. He goes up there. You got a steak sub. This is so fucking embarrassing. I was absolutely mortified. And they did offer that because they have that on the menu, so they know that they don't have to treat this person like an actual human being.
I may have, I don't know if I've told this story before. I may have. I've been doing this show for 47 years, so it's likely that it's come up before. But I always remember when I was like 16, I went to Iowa to go to a family reunion with my dad. And we were hanging out with like my cousin and his dad, and he took us to this, you know, it's Iowa, so it's this just like prime rib spot, you know. This is a place you go for, it was like a 20-ounce prime rib or something ridiculous that like none of us finished the amount of prime rib that they gave you. But my cousin who lives there, who's unimpressed, you know what he decided to get at the prime rib place?
Lay it on me.
Crab legs.
In Iowa,
and they brought them out, and it was a fucking visual gag with like coming from Maryland. We had gotten off a plane from Maryland, and we looked at these crab legs that they brought him that looked like, you know, they were like three inches long,
like in a display case.
Yeah, like they're just tiny. There's no meat on them, and I'm sure they were frozen. You know, like I'm like, what are you doing?
What do you, we're in the middle of the country.
Yeah, where do you think these are coming from?
You've got to be kidding me. That's like, didn't you end up in St. Louis with someone who wanted to eat at the Applebee's instead of barbecue? Oh,
that happened. That is a thing that happened.
You need to find better company to keep, my friend.
I have. That's why I'm out here in LA.
Okay, work.
Yeah,
cool.
LA, just eat at hipster places. Like, it's all delicious food. Like, this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, me and Andy ate at a hipster place, and it was delicious.
Yeah. All right, but here's my one. I got one more thing before we get to this Avengers thing. Because this is a thought I had today. I thought maybe you could help me out. Okay, so Scrooge McDuck
Oh boy.
He's a uncle of Donald Duck, right?
Yeah. So yeah, we assume that, but yeah.
But they're related, right? Like, that's pretty established.
They're related.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Okay, I'll so here's my question. Mm-hmm. In the Disney cartoon universe, is there some sort of, like, Duck Ellis Island that they forced Donald Duck to drop the Mick from his name when his family came over?
Oh. Well, it could be that Scrooge is Donald's mother's brother.
Oh.
And his mother married someone that just had the surname Duck, and she
took his like name. A Mick Duck married a duck.
Yeah.
I guess there's in Duckburg, yeah. There's not a lot of variety of of names. Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. That's a good alternative. You answered my question. There you go. I was enjoying imagining like the McDucks coming over to Duckburg and being stopped by someone like recording their names and just being like, no, you're an American now. You're right. Ducks.
No, we have no time for that. Also, sir, you're a duck. So we're going to call you Duck.
Well, also, I mean, in fairness, I don't know if Donald was the one coming over, but if it was him, he might have been a little difficult to understand.
Yeah, maybe.
And he wasn't wearing pants, so that was distracting, most likely.
Sure. Yeah, who knows what they did with Winnie. I think Winnie the Pooh is Canadian, though, so he probably didn't have to go through Ellis Island. Oh, especially because I think he went from Canada to the UK. This is a logistics nightmare.
All right, well, I think so that was it. That was your, if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame, I hope you enjoyed 10 minutes of gold that we just spun for you.
Because the 100-acre wood, was Christopher Robin British? I don't remember him having an accent. Did Christopher Robin have an accent?
I don't think he ever had it, but like, what's his name that wrote Winnie the Pooh was British, right? Isn't that true?
Yes. Yeah, A.A. Milne was British.
But I don't feel like any of the versions, I feel like he was always American. Well, none of them ever had British accents. Like, Winnie the Pooh doesn't have a British accent.
No. And when the actual bear, Winnie the Bear, he was named Winnie because he's from Winnipeg.
Yeah, so I guess the accents got dropped. I don't know. Like, but they don't have Canadian accents. That'd be amazing if it's like, hey, I got my head stuck in some honey, eh? Hey, get me out of this cave, you hosers.
Look, I don't know if you should be trampling all over my vegetables again there, Tigger. Don't come onto property.
It would have been a different show. Okay, but now.
Yeah.
Now, okay,
here we go.
This is it. We, as Doctor Strange said, we're in the end game now. So, stop this. Don't listen to this if you haven't seen the movie. Give them a second to hit stop. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Cool. I'm picturing someone in their car and they're like fumbling the phone, you know, like they're, and it's, if it's right. Chris, you know, Scarborough, he's listening on like 6x speed. So I'm really trying to
We're
give him
done a, by now.
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. He already had the whole movie spoiled before he could even hit stop. So, and we sound like chipmunks, but that's another, we don't have time for that, but I never understood the chipmunks, like how they ended up with Dave. I think he's exploiting them. I don't think that relationship's okay.
Right. He was from Newfoundland. I'm just making that up.
From. All right. But yeah, let's talk about this movie that hopefully you also.
Definitely North American, right? Because I think the chipmunk is only indigenous to North America, if I'm not mistaken.
That's true. No, that sounds right.
All right. It sounds right.
Okay. So you probably all saw this movie based on the fact that it made over $1 billion in its opening weekend. Mm-hmm. And this is dropping the second weekend. So hopefully if you didn't get to see it the opening weekend, I fear for you though, if that week, I can't imagine what that week felt like of not being able to exist in the world. Did you, let me ask you this. Have you almost spoiled it for someone? Because I definitely had a conversation with someone where a third person was close enough that they had to go like, whoa, whoa, hey, whoa. And like, you know, they hadn't seen it. And so I almost ruined it.
No, no. Only because honest to God, I went to see it with my friend Carlos. And afterwards, we went next door to get a beer. And they had the NFL draft on.
Mm-hmm.
And Carlos is really into sports. So he wanted to talk about the draft. And I listened to him about the draft. I asked questions because I wasn't... I think the NFL draft is such a load of shit. And also... I think the NFL they're masters of psychology and have turned what shouldn't be anything into an event where they can make huge amounts of money. But, you know, I still care a little bit. So I ask, anyways, this is probably the first full on conversation I've had with anyone about it.
Okay.
Because I don't know. I haven't talked to anyone else who has seen it, honestly.
That's exciting then.
So I've had people ask because they know I'm a giant nerd. Hey, did you see it? Yeah, I saw it. Was it good? Yeah, it was good. I mean, what else am I going to say?
All right. Well, that's been Hobo Radio. Remember, question everything. no, but let's get into it. Let's give your nerd brain a chance
Sure. So someone drafted a football player from Duke, you know, famous football college, Duke.
Yeah, that seems like a
mistake. And so what Carlos said, you didn't mean, you don't want to talk about this, did you?
No.
Okay, my bad.
What was his the Wunderlich score? How did he do on that?
I've never heard that word before in my life.
That's what they I don't even know if they still do it. That was like the test they would give to football players.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
That you only ever heard about it if they scored like a high score on it that was supposed to mean something. But, you know, whatever. It kind of feels like the football equivalent of those tests that people take that, you know, this is the type of personality you are, where it's like an assortment of letters.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a description of, you know, this is you. This is what you are as a person.
Exactly. Yeah. Choose one of these four drawings of Stickmen. Mm-hmm. If you chose this one.
What do you like? Taking naps or doing your taxes? Pick one, and that'll tell you what kind of person you are.
Taking naps? You're a sociopath.
Yeah. Doing your taxes? You're a sociopath. All right. But I don't know. I don't know how to die. Well, let's start here. I feel like this is a good place to start.
Okay.
Why did they show us the combine? No, I'm kidding. We're not going to...
No, you know, like a good place to start is I thought it was really excellent that in the trailer, I only watched the one trailer, the first one they released, and basically everything we saw is in the first part of the first act of the movie,
or is a lie,
or is just a bold face. Like we put these three shots together to make you think this thing, but no.
I think that was interesting. No. I saw someone point that out online too. That like they were kind of wondering if when the movie comes out, you know, when it comes out on Blu-ray or such, if they'll redesign the character posters to accurately depict the characters, because there's a number of them. You know, I sat there, I had some time before that movie started to look at just the images of everybody in that collage of people's heads, and it's like Black Widow's hair isn't right, the Hulk looks nothing like that, you know, the Hulk was one. Yeah, Thor was very different. Yeah,
but then they also in the first iteration of the poster, and oh man, I meant to say this right off the bat. I'm going to have a hard time remembering people's names. Not so much their character, but maybe there, but definitely actors' names. Oh. So if you could fill in the gap.
Chris Evans.
And also, I'm going to apologize. But in the first iteration of the poster, Okoye was on there, but the person that plays Okoye, her name was the only one omitted from the actual poster.
I remember that. I think they fixed that same day. I think someone got fired at Disney and they very quickly like found room for
her. Which is like, yeah, first of all, if you're going to put her on the poster, put her name on the poster. Secondly, I can see why you omitted it because she's not really in the goddamn movie.
Well, right. Yeah. But you put her on the poster. So yes, I agree. I also, I know I've mentioned this before. My favorite game to play is to see whose agent tenaciously argued for an and or a with. You know, like, we got you with, you know, I don't even remember who it was. I think it was and Josh Brolin. He got the very last name from what I remember.
Did he get the last one?
But I think, or was it? No, you might have been and Sam Jackson. I think.
No, in this movie?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
In this movie, it was Robert Downey Jr.
Well, that makes sense. Okay. Yes, but yeah, there was, I'm trying to remember because like some of them, because I think Brolin got a with, and I think.
Yeah, there were several withs. And I think two ands. Mm-hmm. I think the ands might have been Evans and Robert Downey Jr. because they, maybe some of the other people are questionable, but they have, I think, ended their journey.
Yeah. Well,
even then, RDJ has not definitively said, like, Chris Evans has all but said, this has been awesome, and he's through, where RDJ is like, yeah, my contract ends with this movie, but I don't know.
Yeah, which is, I mean, maybe that's just showmanship. Like, maybe that's him, you know, not wanting to give anything away. But also, who knows? I mean, I guess there's room for a flashback or something. I'm still, like, nervous, but we've warned everyone, so we can talk. He dies in the movie. I'm just going to get that.
He dies in the damn movie.
I'm going to get that out of the way. I feel like we need to pull these Band-Aids off if we're going to have this discussion. Like, so he definitely died. That was the only thing, but again, I'm not even mad at it. In the trailer... since we're starting there, they have the clip of him recording his little like blog video for Pepper Potts. But they manipulate the audio so that they show him talking and then you don't see him saying it. But at the end of that clip, they have him saying part of the journey is the end, which he doesn't say until the end of the movie when he's dead. Like, so they sneakily kind of like took some of that audio from that recording and used it to make it sound like it was in that first recording. But again, sure. I don't have any issue with any of that. I like that they manipulate it and lie to us to preserve
because,
everything.
You know, yeah. I want to say, I don't know, they were a minute down there on, no, they really weren't. I want to say 25 minutes into the movie and Thanos is decapitated and everything's done.
Well, let me
the Infinity War as we know it is concluded 100%.
Yeah, that's a good place to go. Let's talk about the fact that, yeah, what did you expect from this movie? Like, did you have thoughts? Like, because definitely at that point, 25 minutes in, I definitely had a feeling of, I have no idea what this movie is now, you know?
Yeah, I didn't either. I was thinking, you know, I went in not trying to prophesize at all.
Right.
But what I thought was, as the movie started and you see where you are, you see Tony Stark and Nebula on this ship, and then Carol Danvers shows up, and then we go collect them. I thought, okay, regroup, you know, and
Plan
then they're
B.
going. We're gonna go to where Thanos is. Okay, I don't know what you're expecting to get from this thing,
right?
But that would be my first instinct as well. We need to go find this motherfucker that did this, and.
And Carol Danvers has a very Thor quality to her in this movie, like where Thor was in the last movie of like, whether like we already confronted him and she's like, yeah, you didn't have me. And it's like, that does
good fucking point,
which does turn the tide in that, like, with her, they easily defeat him, but also it's pointless, you know? Also, side note, that was something Molly and I had been very curious about, was like, we had thought a lot about it. So they end Infinity War with the pager, and then you see Captain Marvel, and you kind of realize, oh, so like, you know, Nick Fury has had this pager since the 90s. Mm-hmm. Why is she just now coming for this? We've seen New York almost wrecked. And I was curious how they'd explain that away. And I actually thought it was a very simple explanation, but one that really worked. And one that if I was a Superman writer, I'd be writing down in a notebook somewhere
please.
I've been on other planets because they also have shit going down and they don't have the rest of you.
Boom.
Yeah, which is a great, because again, like I said, Superman, you know, I think that's something that the Justice League always struggles with, is if you have a character that's that powerful, you need them out of the story first.
100%. I mean, that has been my issue with Transformers all along, is it's a very, very simple formula. Optimus Prime is incapacitated or distracted. Everything goes to shit. He shows up. All is well. Mm-hmm. It's every goddamn episode.
Right.
And I do like that explanation, because she isn't relegated to our planet.
Yeah. It kind of shames us all for like.
Yeah. And it's funny. They probably didn't use it with Superman very much, because that was Green Lantern's excuse.
Oh,
who
yeah.
is all but as powerful as Superman.
He makes those big green boxing gloves.
Yeah, always a fist. You can make anything. I make a big fist.
Yeah, it's either like a fist, or he makes like a green gun.
A green gun. It doesn't even need to look like a gun, Hal.
Yeah, it could just be bullets. You don't need... the projectile is the ring. It's whatever.
It doesn't even need to be bullets. It can be boobs. It could be anything you want it to be.
Oh my god, if it was boobs that shot like bullets out of the nipples, now I'm watching.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. all right, but so I'll take a moment to say too that I think this is one of the only things I've said to you about this mm-hmm. movie before we watched it, but there's something that really worked for me about, they're all yelling at Thanos and he's like, I already destroyed the stones. There's nothing you can do. And you have Nebula. Yeah. And Nebula's like, my father's many things. He's not a liar, which is pretty well, mm-hmm. like that's threaded really well in Infinity yes. War. Actually, mm-hmm. you believe this guy. And then Thor just out of frame, like rushes in and chops his head off. And then everyone kind of looks at him and he's like, I went for the head. That line cracks me up, because the only person who understands what you're making a callback to is the guy whose head you just cut off. None of the other people heard you, like, heard him say that.
Yeah, because Rocket asks him, what did you just do? And he says, I went for the head. And my response would be, fucking obviously.
Yeah, that's not...
But I was just saying.
But it's... I just like it because it's like this zinger delivered to the guy you just decapitated.
Right. That is funny. And I like, it's straight up like when you have this pathetic, evil, pompous son of a bitch, and he's still talking like he's some sort of ancient biblical tyrant. And you're not good. The rings are obviously gone. It's just, fucking kill him. We're done with this son of a bitch.
But it's great in terms of what it does for the story. And I imagine this is skipping ahead a little bit. We'll probably touch on all this later. But I love it because so much of Infinity War, and so much of what I loved about Infinity War, was this like existential Thor, like the conversations that he has with Rocket about like, I'm going to get this weapon and I'm going to kill Thanos. And it's like, what if you're wrong? And he's like, well, I don't know. I've never been wrong before. Like, I'm still here. This is what I'm here for. And if I'm wrong, I don't know, what else can I lose? And it's like, well, this whole movie is going to show you like you were wrong. This is what, like, and cause I like it. Cause he kills him, which should be a triumphant moment. And it's just this sense of dread of like, we're all fucked. Like this he doesn't even care if he dies. He won. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it's over. There was supposed to be this regrouping. There's like Avengers assemble. Now we need to go find Thanos. And like, holy shit, they already found him. And then he's there and you have him. Okay. What do we do now? Like, were you interrogating this guy? What are we going to do? And then it's done. He won.
Yeah, well, it's great. Skipping ahead a little bit, I do kind of love what I thought it was very clever that the two nebulas, when they're in the same, time period, that their brains are connected, which made a lot of sense to me. Like, I thought that that wasn't something I had thought about, but I thought that was pretty clever screenwriting. But I love Thanos watching his future self get beheaded, and he's kind of like, well, what I'm seeing is a guy that won. Like it doesn't, you know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
totally. What a dick.
Yeah, like he's such a dick in that moment of like, haha, looks like I really got to them. Like he does not care.
Like he's so dickish in that moment that he actually makes a callback to his own line at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
What an asshole. God, I hate this guy.
Yeah, he's a really good villain. Like, it's, God, he really works for me in this series.
Yeah, you know what? I have been, I have been frustrated, as I have said on this podcast, with why is Josh Brolin in all my shit? But then in a 1 month period last year, we got Thanos, and then we got Cable and Deadpool 2. I'm like, all right, man, you can stick around. You seem to get it.
Yeah, and plus, I don't know, he has a good voice for those, like, really long, like, Shakespearean monologues that Thanos likes to get into.
Yeah. He does. And you know, it was, you keep seeing, for my money, the character, I don't know who's done it. It seems like everyone has taken such good care of the character of Thor all the way through this, you know, not 22 movies, but 11 years of movies.
Right.
Of just doing interesting shit with him, because he could have been one note and that would have worked. It would. I think everyone would have been pleased with this is what Thor is. But the sort of changes he's gone through, and the evolution and de-evolution and all the tragedies he suffered and the atrocities he has arguably committed, and then ending up here, and just his looks keep changing.
Yeah.
And his weapons are changing, and his family has changed, and his world has changed, and things have ended, and things like what? Who knew? Remember I said when they were coming out with this first Thor movie, I'm like, well, this ain't gonna work.
Yeah, well, and it's so funny to think back, because I know that I've said before, I never got into Thor in the comics, because I don't know, he'd have that helmet with the wings on it and his lines would be in cursive. I'm like, what is this? I'm not reading this weird, like, as a kid I was like, I'm not reading this comic with cursive in it, this like weird Shakespearean, you know, like he talks funny and I don't like it.
Yeah, he's always going to do something to someone, something, like, so much something. You're like, what are you saying? Just be cool, man. Just be cool. And what really struck me before, you know, in our prelude to the movie, to the story, when he first meets Carol Danvers and she says, "You didn't have me," and he calls Stormbreaker, which flies by her head and she doesn't flinch, and then he says, "I like this one." I mean, we keep expecting Thor to be a dick, and he never turns into a dick.
Yeah.
You know, no. He did the same thing when he met Gamora and found out that she's the daughter of Thanos. And he did the same thing. He got face to face with her and puffed out his chest and said, "Families are hard."
Right. Yeah.
Thor fucking gets it.
No, I love him. And, you know, I guess, again, we're kind of like jumping around, but I did see, like, since the movie's come out, there's been some backlash online about, you know, people thought the movie was, like, I don't know, fat shamey, or sort of like made a joke out of him, because he's, you know, obviously when we jump ahead 5 years, you know, he's overweight. But I don't know. It really worked for me. One, I didn't feel like it was a joke. Like, I don't honestly, like, there's a few comments, but I think they're even made by him. Like, I don't, there's not like a, you know, the other Avengers aren't like pointing at him and being like, look at this, you know, like, there's none of that. It did just work for me of like, yeah, so he cuts Thanos' head off. Like, there's no satisfaction from that. And then he has 5 years to do nothing. Like, he's just checked out. And I love that he's playing video games with Korg and just, like, drinking and...
No, absolutely. I mean, his home was destroyed, and then the fucking Infinity War happened. Like, the guy's depressed. He put on some LBs, man.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, it doesn't stop him from being an all-powerful being.
I also liked...
And it would have been super lame if, like, be pissed off if they play him fat for a joke, and then all of a sudden he just gets back into shape.
That's exactly what I thought. Like, yeah, that would have annoyed me if, yeah, like, somehow when the final battle happens, he, like, uses his powers to be, like, jacked again or something. Like, yeah. I like that. Yeah, like, he's still overweight in that final battle. Like, yeah. And also, it's such cheap comedy, but I think it's a testament to Taika Waititi and to Chris mm-hmm. Hemsworth that I fucking laughed so stupidly hard at the whole Fortnite yelling at the teenager uh-huh. bit. That is uh-huh. such an easy layup of a joke that is usually the kind of thing that's designed to annoy me. And they really sold it in a way, because it was Korg like really being like, it's him again. Like, you got
right.
No, but they were great. Like, I like that. I like New Asgard. I like the Valkyrie. Like, actually, you like, I thought that was a really interesting juxtaposition, is that when you go to Ragnarok, Valkyrie's the one whose life has fallen apart and Thor is like trying to rally her, and now they've really switched spots where he's the right. drunken wreck and she's the one with her shit together.
She's the one with her shit together. Yeah, who, by the way, Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson are our new Men in Black.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
I like that the people from these movies like each other so much that they just go and make other movies. That, you know, Brie Larson and Sam Jackson were like, let's go make, you know, Unicorn Store. And they're like, right. let's go make Men in Black. Like, we just like hanging out with each other. So we'll just. It's funny. I watched that trailer for Men in Black and I'm like, this doesn't look good to me. I don't care about this series, but I will be there because I like both of these actors and I want to yes. see them be charming with each other.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm pretty sure I'm attracted to one of them, and I'm not even positive which one that is.
I mean, you tell me I got to flip a coin for one of them.
I know,
and
right?
I just drop that coin down my pants.
Oh, man. All right. So that was skipping ahead. I do want to just go back a little bit because.
Please.
So they do the thing. They end the Infinity War. 25 minutes in, and then we get a 5 years later, you know, crawl.
Audible gasp in my theater.
Mine too. One? Yes, yeah. For sure. People were.
And I'll tell you what, I meant to mention this. Again, I went to see it with my friend Carlos. And Carlos is a sports guy who also likes that, obviously. I mean, I bought two tickets because I thought I'll either unload this on someone and get my money back, or one of my friends will be sitting next to me in the theater. And it was Carlos. I'm going through every emotion that I can have as a human in my seat. I am screaming. I'm weepy. I'm losing my mind. The only sound I heard from the seat next to me from Carlos was when Thanos was beheaded and he went, huh? And then 5 years later, audible gasp, and then. And is that when we cut to Tony Stark's perfect life?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I don't remember if we get Tony Stark first, or we might get. I think 5 years later might give us Black Widow in the office with like her hologram, you know, army of like, we're sending you all out to do all this shit.
I think you're absolutely right, because they have to meet. They have to meet the hero of the entire story, Scott Lang, and then they'll go up and proposition.
Tony. I think you're right. I think we get like a little bit of Tony before they show up, and then yeah.
Yeah, so we have to meet Scott Lang first. It's quite a bit of time before we see Tony again, as a matter of fact.
And yeah, and Scott Lang shows up and he says, I've been thinking about it, and what if I made myself really small, crawled up his butthole, and then made myself full size and he exploded. And they're like, he's already been beheaded.
Yeah. Oh, were you must have been talking to that goofy Asian guy who let you out of the parking garage. He would come up with an idea like that.
Also, yeah, shout out to, like, we got two more Community cameos in these movies because the Russo brothers used to direct Community, and they love.
They didn't give him a line, probably because he couldn't say anything without making everyone laugh.
I bet he had 30 different lines that were all cut because they were like, these are hilarious. They'll be great on the gag reel. We can't use any of this footage.
Ken Yeong, we need you to say the lines in English, but they're funnier when they're in Spanish. Also, and they're all curses.
Also, you're a doctor. You know that, right? Like, you have a medical degree in real life. Why can we not get you to do this seriously for 5 seconds?
Okay, now wear these sunglasses because you can't stop making goofy eyes. You can keep the mustache. Jesus Christ, Ken.
But yeah, so that was delightful. Yeah, so we get Scott Lang, obviously, that had been teased. Well, let me ask you that, because I will say, when he talked about the quantum realm and he brought up the idea of time travel, my immediate reaction was a heavy dose of skepticism. Like, I was like, I don't like this. This seems like shit. Like, it felt very Deus Ex Machina, like we were just going to get some cop out, you know, sort of like, I hated it. I so hated it.
No, I'm with you. Anytime you bring up time travel after a series of problems and conclusions have occurred, then yeah, you do get a little nervous. But honestly, I mean, what did you expect? Because, you know, the stones are gone and half of everyone is dead. Mm-hmm. What, like, yeah, it's a Deus Ex Machina. I think by definition it is. But which other solution is there?
Right.
So if you're gonna do time travel, you just got to do it in a way that doesn't suck.
Yeah, and I think that they did do that. So that's what I'll say. Like, I was skeptical, but I actually like how they did it. And once I saw it unfold, I actually really loved it. It felt really smart, you know, as a way to sort of do a better version of Back to the Future 2, where, you know, now you're going to have people go back to these iconic moments from the previous 20 films. Less than iconic moments, because, you know, one of them was Thor: The Dark World, but that honestly was like one of my favorite moments in this movie. It made that movie.
And look, they have the perfect guy to compose a goddamn time travel movie where you're going to do stuff from Back to the Future, for fuck's sakes. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of, this might be a little too far down the nerd hole, but it reminded me of...
which is Lars's favorite sexual position. Thank you.
David Tennant's last moments as the Doctor.
Oh, yeah, where he died for 40 minutes and, like, visited everyone while he was dying.
Like, if you did that, but with some sort of plot.
Yeah. Which I felt like... I think I ended up understanding it, you know, and I think ultimately most people aren't me, and they're not crazy, and they probably don't care if they understood it. But like, I thought that they maybe could have explained their rules of time travel a little better, but I think it made sense that once I sat with it a bit, you know.
Yeah, you know, it was a brief explanation, but I did like it when Bruce said, when you go back into the past, their past has now become your future, and your past is also your future, and just like, okay, that's fine.
And it's sort of, you know, it's their version of, like, you know, you can't kill your grandfather, like, self-consistency principle of time travel. Like, you can't affect the past because it's your past and it led you to itself. So you can go back into it, but everything will happen the exact way that it happened, you know, because it was your past. You know, you can't change it. You're essentially, from what I understood, like, creating a new timeline, you know. And that was, I guess, they had that filled in a little bit more with Tilda Swinton explaining.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that was H.G. Wells' explanation from the beginning of, you know, the only reason you're here is because of the damn time machine. That's why you can't change your past. It's impossible.
Right. So, but yeah, they seem to have this idea, like, the way that I understood it was the stones are actually sort of, because they affect everything in the world, and one of them is a time stone, they're holding everything together. And to remove a stone allows you to create these, like, alternate timelines. And I think that's what it, so anytime they took a stone, I think that was meant to be a new timeline created. And then the idea was, if you put them all back, that those timelines get erased. I don't know. It was,
oh man. And I told you, 'cause I just thought, like, it was such a joy to see Tilda Swinton. This is not, I'm not casting aspersions on her role in Doctor Strange, because I thought that was a really great, great fun movie and a good introduction to that character or characters. However, she was so great in this movie.
Yes.
She was so, like, she's so great in everything, but her part was written so perfectly. I swear to God, these goddamn Russos.
Yeah.
Hold these, hold these characters like precious eggs in their hand.
Well, and they understand how to give them these moments that are the right moment for that character. They
and
really
not,
do.
And they're not corny, and they're not over dramatic or even over important. They serve the exact purpose that they should, and they just it just kind of like, even if it doesn't make sense, it makes sense. That doesn't. That's a stupid thing to say, but you know what I mean?
But no, and her like hitting the Hulk in the chest and knocking Bruce Banner like out of him, you know, really worked with everything that was threaded in the standalone Doctor Strange movie. But I really loved their conversation and I liked that moment. And then it was a cool, like, to contrast everyone else that was having these like very physical battles. I liked that it really was like a battle of wits. It felt a little Princess Bride or anything, of like trying to talk her into giving you the stone that she's protecting, that she's like, okay, but like, what about my reality? Like, you're trying to save you. I'm trying to save me, you know?
No, absolutely. I mean, that's, I thought it was a really great, metaphor, like a visual metaphor for the sort of world that we live in that this powerful being, as small as she might be or look, standing next to this literal Hulk of a man, and he tells her, like, I don't want to fight you, but I will fight you for this thing because it's important to me and important to my future. And she knocks the strength out of them, and what they, instead of fighting, instead of things being destroyed, they actually have to talk.
Yeah.
Just talk it out.
Yep.
And decide what's going to be best for everyone and come to a compromise. This is how, I'm sorry, I don't mean to get on a soapbox, but that's how you prevent wars. Is like, what happens at the end of the war is everyone sits down and talks and says, okay, how do we come to some sort of solution? Can we just do that at the beginning?
Yeah.
Let's do that at the beginning before all the fucking death and destruction, you big assholes.
Well, and it felt like a good sort of payoff of what had been teased in Infinity War with, we knew that Doctor Strange saw something and kept Tony Stark alive and we didn't know why. And then to have that payoff with her character going like, wait, Doctor Strange like gave up this time stone, so he knew something was up. So
I trust
him, which is all really fascinating because she hasn't met him yet.
But she knows.
Yeah.
She's the ancient one.
But it's cool because then it's like, I like it because she knows about Doctor Strange, but she doesn't know about their shit because her story ends with Doctor Strange. Like, she kind of passes everything off to him. And so it seems like once he's firmly in place and she is no more, that she didn't keep up with what happens next.
That is something.
Let's also talk about, did Natalie Portman film anything for this movie, or did they just take... Yeah, that's what I thought.
Absolutely what. Absolutely.
Because I saw her name in the credits, but I was like, that's not new footage. That you just took footage from...
Yeah, I equate it to Anna Paquin being listed in X-Men Days of Future Past. Like, for real? Why is she...
But also, I think it really worked, honestly. Like, it feels like Natalie Portman, understandably, just doesn't have an interest in making these movies anymore, which is fine. I honestly don't think the movies need her character, and I think she realizes that. I love Natalie Portman. I enjoyed her in the movies that she was in, but we're good, you know? Like, but I like that it felt like they didn't have her, so they had to then use this, like, who we do have is Rene Russo, you know, and that to me I think was better. Like, I much rather would have had, you know, what we got, you know, where you
she was in two Thor movies and she was never fleshed out until her 5 minutes in this one. Minutes with the Russos,
they're really good at this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I loved all that stuff because I'm not going to, but it kind of made me want to go back and watch Thor: The Dark World. So I give it credit that it's the most interested I've ever been in revisiting that movie. Because I was like, man, I don't know. Maybe that movie was all right. Like, that's what I think they did. The Russos are so fucking good. They really made me kind of go like, I think all these movies were good. They must be. Because look how they're just paying off.
Yeah.
But no, I liked that. And then we're in the good, like the good action shit. I love what kind of felt like a very organic, but also just like kind of a diss on Joss Whedon and his style of filmmaking. When we get them going to the first Avengers and they show them posing and then they're kind of like, okay, let's stop posing, you know? And
yeah, like, right.
Like just pointing out how ridiculous that moment would actually be in a realistic world that they're all just standing over Loki.
Yes. Yes. I agree. I couldn't have been the only one. Listeners, if you did this as well, you can let me know. I'm at the Lars Peter on Twitter, mm-hmm. if you'd like, yep. Or go ahead and at Free Mr. Clark because he pays closer attention. But every time,
or we never plug this, by the way, but Hobo Radio Podcast on Instagram. That's a good one too.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, we have an Instagram now. I never mentioned it.
I didn't know that.
I know. I never talk about it. I'm like, I should. It's nice. I post like the stuff on it. Sometimes
do you really?
Yeah, there's like clips and stuff from the show.
Get the fuck out of here.
I know. I always forget to mention it. I like Instagram better than Twitter these days. So I've been okay, like, fucking around with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do all that, folks.
Yeah, dude, so go there. Leave some comments on the show notes or something.
We're never going to turn this into a money-making scheme.
No, we're bad at all of this.
Every time, and it happened, I want to at least three times, maybe four times, every time Captain America cursed, I said language.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I didn't think that, but yeah, that's good stuff.
Because he said, when he sees himself, he says, oh, you got to be shitting me.
Yeah.
He calls someone a son of a bitch. I know he says ass.
He says that's America's ass.
Yeah, it's America's ass. That's
which,
it.
All of that, the America's ass bit really amused me, all of that through line. But yeah, it kind of works. Like, I can, in story, justify. I mean, this is a Captain America that he's been through the shit, you know? Like, he grew a mm-hmm. beard. He watched everyone. It's 5 years after he failed and everyone disappeared, including Bucky, you know? Like, he curses now. But,
mm-hmm.
man, so how much did you enjoy Captain America versus Captain America? Because it's such a tried and true, every superhero has had, let's have that superhero fight either actually themselves or someone pretending to be them. I mean, there's a fucking famous gif of just Spider-Man pointing at another Spider-Man that they made awesome in the Spider-Verse movie. They actually really paid that off well. But that's it's such, I remember like reading Spider-Man and Batman comics as a kid where I probably read 20 different versions of them fighting another version of themselves.
Oh yeah, it happens in all the comic books. It happens in most video games. It was the worst in Ocarina of Time. That fucking Shadow Link. I swear to God.
But I loved it. I like it that it made sense. They threaded it well. That Captain America from Marvel's The Avengers thinks that it's Loki, which makes a lot of sense. You know. And I just love our weather-worn modern Captain America's just utter exhaustion with himself of just like seeing what everyone else sees. And like when he's like, I could do this all day, and he's I know.
Yeah. And I mean, more than that, you know, you can change. You obviously like he looks a little bit younger, but not really. And his hair is a little bit blonder, but not really. But you could definitely see the difference. As when you look at the screenshot with the two of them in the frame, you can see the difference of muscle mass. And I really dig that because what I've always liked about this Steve Rogers character is, yes, he is superhuman. We don't know exactly. Well, at the end of this movie, we do know close to how powerful he is. But we also know that he keeps in shape. He does laps. He hits the heavy bag.
Yeah.
He does calisthenics. Like, he has to keep this up, and also he can build on it. And to see them side by side and to see the difference, even if it's slight, it's just noticeable that our endgame Captain America is a little more swole.
Yeah,
a little more swole than the Marvel's The Avengers Captain America.
Well, and it seems earned that, like, in it's sort of the opposite of Thor. Like, in The Avengers, we see that, you know, he's really hitting that heavy bag. It seems like when he gets stressed out, he really gets into working out. So 5 years has probably led him to really, like, he's just been working out for 5 years waiting for a fight.
Yeah, not much shit to do.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm doing half as much as I used to.
Yeah. So, but all that, like, I really loved the Captain America stuff. The you know, Tony Stark going back in time, you know, with Captain America, but like them going back, like, I thought that was a nice moment with his dad. I'm amazed they found room for that scene in this movie. Like, right?
It wasn't, I didn't, if you go through this whole series and he doesn't come to some sort of peace with his daddy stuff, I would have been fine with that.
Yeah, I would have thought there wasn't room for it, but I like that they found it.
Even when you see in this movie that he has himself become a father, just like, that's just part of who he is. I would have never thought again about Howard Stark.
Yeah.
This, and it didn't feel wedged in at all.
It
got a little corny, especially when they like walked out together and stuff, but it kind of, they kind of brought it back right there at the end when he hugs him.
Well, I think that's why it worked. Is it felt
Jarvis
corny?
Is there at the car?
No, I think that's why it worked, because it felt corny, but then it, like, they played into it by making it be like, no, Howard Stark is actually confused by what's happening. Like,
okay.
Like, he's emotionally uncomfortable, you know, but. No, all that stuff really worked. We got Yvette Nicole Brown. You know, we got our second community cameo in the movie.
Sure.
She got more to do, which was exciting.
Yes.
Because she can be trusted to have lines.
Yeah, absolutely. But she'll do the job.
Yeah. But that was really cool. Plus, I know just from, like, The Walking Dead that she's a huge nerd. So I bet, like, that was exciting for her just to, like, be in this world.
Absolutely. Yeah, I bet Nicole Brown is great. She is fantastic.
But I like that. And I do like that they found a range of, you know, sort of these, you know, to, I guess, to look at it, you know, Joseph Campbell style. Like, obviously, these are this are a road of trials that they have to go on to get the stones. And I like that, you know, some of them were punchy kind of action things, but other ones were more emotional. I think they did that with the stones in the last movie, too. Like, you know, with... to get the Soul Stone, you have to, it's an emotional sacrifice.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, so we'll get into that, which, that, like, they slow played that to the point where I had a moment, I don't know how you were, like, when everyone split off and we kind of saw what the teams were, I was like, well, shit, how are they going to get the Soul Stone? We know there's only one way to get the Soul Stone. And then so much shit happens that I kind of forgot about it for a while. Like, I forgot that was looming. You know, because they wait a long time to get us to that. And then, you know, the hawk gets down from up in his nest. And he and Black Widow, you know, they're there.
Yep.
What did you think?
I didn't like it. I didn't like the whole thing.
Really?
I can see what it was supposed to be. And this is not coming from a place where I told you this whole, I texted you this, but, I go to see the first showing at the Senator. We are all fanboys there. All of us. We're going stupid, crazy, screaming at everything. Giving applause when anyone shows up, they say they used the de-aging technology on Stan Lee for his cameo. I think the whole thing was computer generated. I don't care. There he was saying, make love, not war. We're going berserk for everything. When Clint Barlow takes his hood down, there is utter silence. And I'm telling you, it was more quiet than it was before he took the hood off. And it was just already quiet. Like,
you're talking about his reveal, like his first
reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We were all like, no, be extra quiet. Fuck this guy.
No, he sucks. But I will say that I do think that this character has failed. I think it's fair to say at this point, they've tried a lot of different angles. They tried Brainwashed, which worked pretty well in Avengers. Mm-hmm. They tried giving him a family, which did not work, which didn't work very well. No. Then they've tried different ranges of.
They even tried like Black Widow's punchy sidekick, you know, and Ultron. He's going to be wisecracking.
Yeah, they tried that. He had the whole like, none of this makes any sense. You know, like, I'm shooting arrows. Like, he's like busting on himself. in that movie. None of it really worked. I do think, and I don't know if this is, you know, maybe it's just a credit to Jeremy Renner and to Scarlett Johansson of I think they're good actors, is like, I do buy into their relationship with each other. I think that's absolutely the only thing that's actually worked.
None of the, I'll speak for both of us, I think, when I say none of the detrimental things we've said about Clint Barlow have anything to do with Jeremy Renner or even the people writing the character. The character just isn't there.
No, the character just doesn't work. I don't think, I don't know what the, there's a lot of Avengers. There's a lot of options of characters that you can pull from for the Avengers. I just think that this one was probably a mistake. I don't know what the thought process was going into, and we need Hawkeye, but it, I think that time has shown that that was maybe not the right call. Like,
maybe, yeah, maybe not the right call, but I'm with you there. The relationship between Natasha and Clint was, has been there since Marvel's The Avengers. And it hasn't really wavered at all. It's been very consistent and even evolved a bit.
And I think a lot of that was sold in that scene with Scarlett Johansson and Loki, like the, you know, her like wanting to get her ledger, you know, clean, like I've got to save this guy. I think it worked. And so I liked the Soul Stone moment with the two of them. Like, it's the most interested I've ever been in anything that he's ever done, of like both of them being like that moment of, well, we know what has to happen. And both of them think that they're talking about themselves. Like, obviously I have to die because you need to live, you know, and I but thought
then,
that,
but then also both of them understanding that they're talking about themselves to each other and bullshitting each other.
But I don't know. I really liked that moment. And I'll just say too, that like we should talk about moments that we got choked up, because I think that's good shit to do. But like, this one was one for me. Like, I really realized that I didn't want to watch Black Widow died.
I really couldn't. I didn't realize how attached I was to her until I had the potential of losing her.
Yeah, because I think I just convinced myself that Clint Barlow was going over that cliff.
Me like, too.
I was just like, yeah, it's going to be him. And it was funny because I talked to Molly afterwards and she was like, no, of course he has to live. He has the family. And I was like, yeah, whatever. But she should live. She's Black Widow.
Yes. What I say, I said she should live and marry Linda Carnolini. Perfect family.
That would have been, they're talking about Disney Plus and like, you know, what kind of shows. I'd watch that if it was just the two of them. They start like an organic farm, you know, and they raise the kids.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm watching that shit.
Oh my God, that's beautiful.
Yeah, poor Linda Carnolini too. Anyway, yeah, so like that, I was very sad watching Black Widow die, and she seems super dead out of everyone when we can talk about that. We're already at the hour mark, but she seems the least likely to come back. But I don't know, maybe they'll figure out something with the Soul Stone, because
no, that whole thing is very, very mystic, but it's unlikely only now because we have this Gamora paradox that it seems pretty unlikely. Also, you know, they, Clint said to everyone, there was a, you know, a red floaty guy that told us that it's impossible for people to come back. So I'm like, I don't know. I know it looks like Captain America's done, but I think he'd be super pissed if he knew that Red Skull is up on a planet killing his friends.
Well, also,
in order to obtain Soul Stones.
But also, that's something they obviously, for very understandable reasons, in a 3-hour movie, and because they didn't want to deal with it, that's something they hand wave past in the end. But Steve Rogers is the one who returns all the stones, so presumably he went there and saw Red Skull. like he went to where the Soul Stone was to put
it
back.
He had to put the goddamn stones back.
Yeah, I you know, I, obviously we didn't get any post-credit scenes. I would have maybe liked that one. Just how did that go?
God damn, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I was curious about that. Like, that did stand out to me, that like presumably they should have come face to face.
Son of a bitch.
But yeah, the Gamora thing too, I'm very curious, because it's ambiguous, right? Like, what, she's not on the ship with the Asgardians of the Galaxy. I can't believe they pulled that out and like saved that for this movie and no one had said it before. That's really good. But she wasn't on the ship with them, but we didn't see her turn to dust with the rest of Thanos' crew. So we don't know if past Gamora that was in that final... We don't really know what happened, right? Like, am I wrong, or...
Past Gamora?
The Gamora that's in the battle. The Paradox Gamora. Like, that's... That they pull from, you know, the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. That's her and Nebula are there at the end.
I don't imagine she was part of that. I just assumed that she was getting on the ship with the rest of the Guardians.
But I don't think she's in that shot. Like, I'm pretty sure.
She might not be in that shot, but I think if she gets dusted, we see it.
Right. But I'm just saying that that was something that they left ambiguous is all I'm really saying. But I think they did all of that because they didn't. I mean, I don't even know the timeline of if James Gunn had been... like, was still employed or not employed at the time that was probably written.
Right.
Because I wondered that a little bit, too, of, like, did they just put Thor with the Guardians of the Galaxy because they really didn't know what any of them were going to do in the future? You know, like, yeah, we'll put all enough, the characters
I think this next Guardians movie is supposed to take place in between Guardians 2 and Infinity War because there's, like, a four-year gap there.
That would make sense. From then
on. Yeah. From then on. Let's have it as Guardians of the Galaxy. Come on, man. Let's throw Valkyrie on that damn ship, too, and let's go. Let's make 50 goddamn movies.
I also want to believe, as, like, Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans Scarlett Johansson were all sort of like, yeah, I'm ready to move on, that Hemsworth was just like, no, I don't care if there's a contract in place. I'll keep showing up to these sets. I'm playing Thor forever, and you can't stop me. You keep changing me.
I'm thin. I'm fat. I got one eye. I got two eyes. Hair's long. Hair's short. I don't give a fuck. Let's go.
Yeah. It's not getting better for me out in Hollywood if I stop making these movies. This is the best acting gig I will ever have. I mean, yeah, like, yeah.
So much fun. It has to be. It has to be.
But yeah, I like that they kept him in play. But that's what it felt like to me, is like they all got on a spaceship that flew off into question mark because the grand plans at Disney were kind of like, I don't know what we're doing with any of these people. Just put them on a spaceship. And then you have room for, they dropped Thor off if he's not in the next movie or he's with them.
Right.
It felt like you just put storytelling potential in a spaceship and sent it off away from everyone else, which I liked.
But before we get to the last act, back to the Soul Stone real quick. At the end of the day, I hate prefacing things with that stupid cliche, but at the end of the day, it does make a lot of sense that Natasha sacrifices her life for the only family she's really ever had.
Yeah.
In order for her best friend to go home to his family. I get it. And the look on her face, that, like, that scared smile, and just, okay, fine. And it also stays in line with the prophecy that we saw in Ultron or whatever. That was a weird movie, but fine.
Well, also, I liked she has a line of dialogue. I don't remember exactly what it was, but he sort of is looking at himself as like, I've become this weird ninja man with this dumb haircut, and I'm like fighting the Yakuza or whatever storyline that no one cares about that I'm invested in. But like,
that they're definitely going to make a series about.
Yeah, for sure. But like, you know, he's been spending 5 years without his family, dealing with that. And, I like her dialogue about, I don't judge anyone based on, I forget what she says, their worst day or their worst version of themselves. But like, it makes a lot of sense with her, who, like, we have only had allusions to because bafflingly they never made a Black Widow movie. But we never really got a full sense of what her life was like as a spy. But we know that she did terrible things. Mm-hmm. And so I like her dying because she had already redeemed herself, and it's like, I need to give you room to redeem yourself in a very bland, non-convincing television series. All right. Also, but can I real quick, I'm sorry, I don't want to, I realize I'm a snob and my brain is always running even if I'm not trying to figure shit out, but I was a little surprised in my screening when people audibly gasped when all of his family disappeared in the opening 5 minutes of the movie, when I was like, what did you think was going to happen? Like, it's so clear that this is taking place before the events of Infinity War and his whole family is there. I'm like, and you've seen the trailer where he has the haircut and the really thought his family wasn't going to all turn to dust in this opening picnic scene that we're spending time on. Like, just have you guys seen a movie? Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
I was just a little like, really? Like, God bless him.
I mean, it was still emotional, but yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying people were shocked, like audibly shocked in my screening, where I was like, oh, look, man, I don't want to, you enjoy this movie how you enjoy it. But it caught me off guard because I was like, God, maybe I have no capacity for joy. Maybe that's on
because
me.
Because you see, look, they're having a picnic. Well, I'm about to see some pretty sad shit go down.
Yeah, I'm like, I think I just walked into this movie going like, this is 3 hours of breaking my heart. So, oh, his family's there. They won't be in 5 minutes. I watched The Leftovers. Yeah, but I actually really liked the way they did that, like with him searching for all of them and them disappearing. Sure. But yeah, like I don't know. That just caught me off guard that people were genuinely surprised by that. But sure. Anyway, so are we ready to talk about the end?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think someone should paint that battle in a giant, like, just, you know.
I have to paint you.
Like, that's all. It just looked so beautiful with the lighting and the 8,000 characters. And
yeah, it reminded me of the posters that they did for Age of Ultron, except all the Ultron robots would be recognizable characters.
Yeah.
Because it was just a jumble of crap.
But it was really cool. Like, it honestly did remind me of, like, those old, I don't know enough about art history to name drop the right people, but, like, you know, those, like, sort of classic battle paintings, you know, like, where it's just this big epic, you know, oftentimes biblical or whatever, but you know what I mean? Like, this is very, like, it looked really cool, and I don't know, it all worked for me. Like, it was big, and they fucking went for it, but they went for it in a way that I really liked. Like, I liked that they blew up the headquarters, and then it's just everybody, and it's bad. Like,
it's really bad. It's, it's a curious thing to me that Hulk puts on, well, Bruce puts on the faux gauntlet, and he snaps his fingers. I'll concede that the stones don't destroy themselves this time, but I don't know why. Do you know why?
Well, they don't automatically destroy themselves. He said that he destroyed the stones. Like, so I think
when he destroyed this. Okay, gotcha. Okay,
so cool. It wasn't that they got destroyed in the snap.
That was
it's that
part
he
of
did
his wish.
Because, yeah, well, because the stones still work because he does the snap and then he teleports away. So they're still working after the snap. Then he just like goes to his garden retirement planet and then uses the stones to destroy the stone.
Okay.
Yeah, he says that in the movie. That's why his arm is worse, too. Like, if you notice, in the movie, he's more fucked up than, like, he was at the end of Infinity War.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So the logistics of half of planet, half of the population
of
Earth has come back.
If this is where you're going, I would like to spend a lot of time on this, but let's put a pin in that for a second, because I have all these thoughts, but I want to talk about this battle first, and then we can
talk about the battle first. Okay.
Yeah. Just because I was very interested in the battle. The gauntlet, like the Iron Man gauntlet, that I'm curious. I don't know. It's a question of what I really want from this movie, and I think it delivered in, you know, it worked overall, but it's like, I think the nerd in me wanted maybe a little bit more justification for why they can make, why Tony Stark is capable of making a gauntlet that works, or at least how he did.
Oh, yeah, I got an explanation for that. Nanotechnology.
Yeah, triangles. He made a triangle instead of a circle. I know. Whatever they would have said wouldn't have been satisfying, but that was definitely
The Morbius rift. Morbius rift. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I get it. It's fine. I mean, Scott Lang turned into a baby. I don't need a ton of explanation for things that happened. But I think that worked. Like, I liked the...
Mobius. God damn.
Yeah, I knew what you meant. I was going to...
Sorry.
But I think it worked. I loved the Thanos snapping and nothing happening and then going to Tony. And then, like, the fact that there were stakes. Like, I think that was important out of all this, that you had Thanos and Hulk being the two to wield it. You give Tony Stark this amazing hero moment, but then it kills him, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And his, like, and his... The thing that kicked off this, the words that kicked off this story are the same words that ended this story. I think that that's really great bookends. It's and it wasn't really forced. It seemed sort of natural. Just like, yeah, you're telling a story, and this is the way you tell a goddamn story. I get it.
Well, and also it sort of, you know, harkens back to that first Avengers movie, because the whole theme of the first Avengers was Tony Stark is not the guy to make the suicide play. He's not the guy who's going to sacrifice himself to save everyone else. And he was willing to do it then. And
so many times he was willing to do that.
But he has more of a reason not to be that guy in this movie. And this whole movie was very much about that, of like, he has more to lose than anyone else, because he's the one person that actually moved on and built a life after this. Mm-hmm. And so for him to make that choice is a giant sacrifice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked that.
That's great.
It worked. The whole battle was good. The Russos are very good at messy battles that have a lot of people in them that I'm able to clearly follow and that spotlight each character and make it feel worth it. I liked the sort of baton passing of the gauntlet and stuff, you know, like there was a lot of cool moments. There's the moment that
very cool.
Sure.
Oh, the incel. You could talk about the incels.
Yeah, all their heads exploded, which is really funny, because I saw a lot of people latching onto it with this movie, but there's a pretty similar moment in Infinity War that didn't really get the same kind of flack, where the Carrie Coons' character is saying to, I forget which, I want to say it's Scarlet Witch, but I don't remember which one. One of them is on the ground. It might be Okoye, where she's like, you'll die alone. And then Black Widow kind of shows up from out of frame, and it's like, she's not alone, and it's her, it's Scarlet Witch, Okoye, and Black Widow are all like fighting Carrie Coons together. So there was a not dissimilar moment in Infinity War that for some reason got a pass. I also
there wasn't like 15 ladies.
I know there were more ladies. We can deal with three, but one more and that's too many. But what I liked, which was nice, because obviously the backlash was super predictable, but walking out of the screening that I went to, which as we covered last week, I saw it, you know, on Tuesday, like before a couple of days before everyone else. I was walking out of the screening. There was a dad there with his little daughter, and they were ahead of us. And he just looked at her, and obviously, like, the dad was honestly probably our age, you know, maybe a little bit older than us, and he's got like a little girl, and he's pretty obvious, like, I just want my young, like, you know, 7 or 8 year old daughter to be into this movie. And so he's like, so what did you think? Like, clearly, like, hoping. And she's like, I love the part where all the girls were together, and like clearly, boom, like, dead. And it was like, I was so happy that was the first reaction that I, like, that was the first take on that moment that I heard you know, a young girl making, you know, loving it and also making her dad happy because, like, he won his kids into this movie, like, because of that moment, like, you know?
Yeah, totally. Totally.
So that was cool. I loved that was...
And what did it take? It took about 6 seconds.
Well, also,
and you could have, like, affected a generation of, of young women.
Yeah. And it's it's such a non-thing. Like, we don't have time to talk about incels, but, like, I don't understand why that hurts you to have that happen. Like, it's fine. It's just a thing that happens. If they were all dudes, you wouldn't have cared.
Yeah, it would have actually been boring and stupid.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, man. But, like, right before that is one of my favorite moments in that entire battle. When Carol Danvers shows up and Peter has the stones and he says, hey, I'm Peter Parker. And she goes, hey, Peter Parker.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. No, her delivery.
How beautiful is that? And that was, she actually filmed her scenes for this movie before she had finished Captain Marvel. So like she had her character completely fleshed out, because that, even though I don't know, I said on our last show or the show, I don't remember what we talked about. I think it was last week, but I just didn't, in that movie, I thought there was just something missing, not an entire dimension, but just like, I didn't see the character fully realized to my satisfaction, but what the fuck do I know? But that moment was so in keeping in everything I saw in the Captain Marvel movie. This is why this lady's got a goddamn Oscar, is probably going to get some more, because she's so good at just staying consistent
with
the material.
But that's also, again, to what we've been saying with why I think the Russos are so good, in that, like, they really, she's probably in like three scenes. I think if you really like broke down screen time for Captain Marvel, like, she's not in the movie that much, but she's so clear who she is, and every moment that she's there really counts, you know?
Right.
And I love that.
Yeah, totally. Totally. But what did it for me? Okay. So to say nothing about any of the other characters, to me, even though there were other original Avengers, the guys that had the bone to pick with Thanos, to say the least, were the guys that were, it was Thor, it was Tony, and it was Steve.
Yep.
And so the three of them against him was like, okay, they're going to be the only ones who get their hands on him, especially when Wanda shows up and wrecks house with his ass, because I didn't know that the Scarlet Witch was that powerful, but god damn, that was amazing.
No, she's an interesting one too, that they've, also, by the way, if I can take 1 second to point out that Thanos totally nice to meet you.com's Scarlet Witch, because he's like, because she's like, you took everything from me, and he's like, I don't even know who you are. Yes, you do. You very clearly know who she is, because, like, it's very obvious he knows who she is in Infinity War, because their entire plan revolves around getting her away from Vision. So, like, he knows who she is. He's just being a dick. Like,
well, he legit, this is a guy from 2014. He legit might not know who she is.
Oh, that's true. He might not know who she is at that point. I didn't think about it that way. But, like, he definitely knew who she was in Infinity War. But it's a sick burn.
100%. Yeah,
it's a sick burn, bro.
It is kind of, right. Because, like, even when she says, you took everything from me, and he's like, I don't know who you are. Like, well, he has a point, Scarlet Witch. He hasn't taken shit from you yet.
But also, he's kind of like...
But fuck him. Yeah.
I take shit from, like, I took everything from everybody. Like, ask my daughters. Like,
yeah.
That's
kind
of my thing.
Still fuck him for sure.
Okay.
So when he, I'm sorry. This is so satisfying for me. When, when Steve finally calls Mjolnir picks it up and starts using it, and Thor says, I knew it. I'm like, fucking A, Thor. I knew it. Because in Ultron, when he's pretending that he can't pick up that hammer, I'm like, Steve Rogers can pick up that goddamn hammer. I know he can. He's sandbagging like a son of a bitch just to make everyone feel better.
But again, I realize all this whole podcast is just us, like, really fanboying out on the Russos. But yeah, again, they took Ultron, which you and I last week when we ranked the movie spent a not insignificant amount of time shitting on Age of Ultron.
Yes.
Which I still don't think is a very good movie. But that scene is the best scene in that movie, where they're just hanging out partying and they all try to lift the hammer. But yeah, like, you have this moment where the hammer moves, and yeah, I do love that idea that Steve Rogers is such a nice guy that at that moment he realizes, oh, I, like, you know, it moved because he probably realizes I can actually pick this up, and then goes like, yeah, but I'm not going to, like, this is important to him.
I'm not gonna use this thing until I need it.
But yeah, it was such a big payoff, and obviously my theater lost it for that. And maybe you're better equipped to answer this than me, but has that happened in the comics? I couldn't recall Steve Rogers
wielding Mjolnir?
Yeah.
I have no clue, honestly.
I feel like it, well, because the other thing that I think is different in comic book Thor versus movie Thor, the rules are a little bit different in that, in the comics, if you have the hammer, and they do this in the first Thor movie, and then they kind of abandon it, but it's like the hammer is Thor powers. So if you can wield the hammer, you have all of Thor's powers.
And it, yeah, which Steve proved. Because he used the lightning as well, so he proved himself worthy quite a long time ago, and he knew that, but he didn't need it.
But it seems different because, well, I guess what I'm saying is different in the way that they presented it in this movie. And I think, like, with Vision too, it seemed like if you wield, you know, the hammer, it doesn't, Thor still has his powers too, and I guess that was kind of established in Ragnarok.
Yeah,
like, you're not Thor, God of Hammers, which is still an amazing line. But I think it's that idea that, like, the hammer is a way to tap into the powers. But because there was a whole comic book arc recently with Jane, the character that Natalie Portman plays, where, like, Thor was no longer worthy and she became Thor because she could pick up the hammer. So,
yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, there is only one Thor, God of Thunder. But if you prove yourself worthy enough to wield Mjolnir, then you also can
tap into
the powers of Thor. But there's still one Thor. God, that's the nerdiest fucking thing I've ever
seen. I know,
seen,
but it was just something. But I liked it. And I loved, like, seeing Captain Rogers, you know. And I love, like, all of it. Like, again, I think that's another moment, like, that you were talking about earlier, where Thor could have been upset by that, but the choice to have him be kind of excited about it, like, was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's totally in keeping with his character. He's like, he roots for his friends.
Yeah.
He roots for good things to happen. He's never pissed at anyone unless they're doing something that hurts other people. Like, he's just like, this is the hero that we've been, this is a guy with flaws, but his character flaws are those of, like, the character flaws of those of a teenager, which he basically is. He's like, For an Asgardian, he's the age of, like, a college boy.
Yeah.
With a good sense of morals. You know, he's a really good guy. He's a young adult. Like, I really dig that character.
Yeah, no, I do too. And I love the work he's done. I started to, like, tease this last week, but I didn't want to get into it because obviously I didn't want to talk about this movie. But Chris Evans, man, like, that guy made me love Captain America in a way that I never really thought I would. And
you talked about that last week.
I know, but I'm saying, like, this movie, he really kicked it into, like, an extra gear. I think every moment that he would, like, because I think this movie, I officially turned the corner because, you know, like, Civil War, you know, I like him, but I'm on, you know, Team Stark. And then, like, Infinity War, I like him, but it's Thor's movie to me. And it's interesting because in a lot of ways this is Tony Stark's movie, but I've always loved Tony Stark. It feels like a very Captain America movie to me, you know. And
sure. Look at the evolution that the Russos have forced Captain America to take. Is in Winter Soldier, which, if I'm not mistaken, was their first at-bat.
Yeah, which is interesting, too, because they've had the most control. Out of all the characters, Captain America is the one they've written the most because they wrote Winter Soldier and then they did Civil War. Like, they've done everything that Captain America has been in since Winter Soldier has been written, you know, well, not written by the Russos, because it's, I guess we should say that, too. It's what, McFeely and Marcus, I think, are the screenwriters' names. But, like, give them credit too. It's the same screenwriters and all of these.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So those people have forced him to, in Winter Soldier, he had to question how you trust the people that you work for, these government agencies that you have sworn loyalty to. And then in Civil War, they made him question, how much do you even trust a government entity outside of yourself? Like, how do you trust any government entity? You know, me being Captain America, how do I see myself using my powers for planet Earth? And then in between Civil War and Infinity War, he had to think about, well, now I'm ousted. How do I even, like, I have to question who I am as a person and how I fit into all of this. Who can I trust, period? Because I've been denounced by not only my government, but now every government that has anything to do with the Sokovia Accords, which are a lot of governments.
Right.
I still want to do good, but I can't even show my goddamn face. And now when you get to this point, he could be a cynical, embittered Steve Rogers, but he's not. He's still himself. He knows what good is and what bad is, and he knows what he needs to do to make things right. But he has grown. He's not a Boy Scout anymore. He's just a guy with a really good moral compass who needs to get a goddamn job done.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it really works. It's good. I'll miss him. That guy was good.
Yeah. Yeah. God.
All right.
You can do that. Oh shit. Have we been talking for this long?
Yeah, I know. That's why we got to kind of wrap it up. Like, but yeah, no, that end battle was great, but before we go, let's get into it because I love this movie. I really like what they did.
I know what you hate.
What do I hate? Like,
I know it. You didn't like that kid showing up from Iron Man 3.
Oh, I probably wouldn't have if I had realized who he was. I definitely had to read an internet article because I walked out of the theater being like, who the fuck is that kid standing in the back? I did not recognize him at all. Like, not even kind of. I only know because, yeah, someone from some website was like, were you wondering who that kid was standing in the back of the funeral? And I was like, I definitely was. But you mentioned it before and I said to put a pen in it. So let's talk about... I'm very curious what happens now, especially with there's a Spider-Man movie coming out pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So as you said, people are gone for 5 years. Then, you know, the Hulk, he snaps his fingers. They're back.
They're back.
That would be such a destabilizing event on not just our planet, but every single planet in the universe that I keep thinking about this because I'm like, so first you got a lot of things. One, 5 years is a long time. There's an opening scene in this movie where it is one of the Russos playing the character, but there's a character talking, you know, there's the support group with Captain America and he's like, I'm dating again. And kind of like the idea seems to be like that this guy was maybe with someone that disappeared, you know? Mm-hmm. That probably happened to a lot of people. So how many people were like, I don't know, married or in serious relationships and then had their partner disappear and then 5 years later are with someone new? You know, how many people, you know, moved on with their lives? How many people died? I mean, we see that like with Hawkeye, like he's really slaughtering people and those people had slaughtered people. And so how many people came back 5 years later to find out, oh, the people that I love that I thought I was coming back to, they're dead now. You know, mm-hmm. How many people lived somewhere and 5 years later that place is sold or rented to someone else? Everyone lost their jobs. They lost all their money. Like, how do you rebuild a society where you double your population in 1 second and you have nowhere to put these people and no jobs for them? Like, it would fuck up everything so badly.
You know what? That's that's a good point. I kind of thought about the relationship thing and kind of like, what are you doing in my home? There was no one here.
Yeah.
But then I thought about it from an ecological standpoint.
Right.
Of like half of everyone, because Thanos never said half of humans. He said half the population.
Right. So he's presumably animals too. Yeah. Like.
I'm going to presume that.
Yeah.
Steve Rogers mentioned that he saw whales coming into the New York Harbor and he said, mm-hmm. less ships, less people, less pollution. And then now they're all back.
Right.
In that, I don't know how long that battle took, but okay, that's taken care of. And now, well, everything's pretty much ruined.
Yeah, everything's ruined. We don't know what to do with anyone. Who even knows how many people that disappeared were in government? Like, there would be so many problems
it's half of everyone. There is a little over 150 countries in the world. What if each of those, every one of the countries on planet Earth had their leader disappeared, they dusted, and now they're back?
Well, there's also...
They didn't lose their position. They weren't voted out.
But
they
that's what I'm saying.
Die. Now they're here.
Yeah, they have claims to be back in charge. There's also, again, like to focus... I don't know why I'm focused on the deaths, but like in the Nick Fury scene that we see a helicopter crash. We see cars crashed. Like,
no, absolutely.
Presumably a number of people died because they were a passenger, like in a vehicle that like the driver disappeared, or they were a passenger in a helicopter. So like how many people came back and found out like you led to the death of someone by disappearing, or like there's just so many things by, and it's one of those things, I get it, because I think their thought process was, one, you get Tony Stark's daughter, which I loved. Robert Downey Jr. crushed all of those scenes with his daughter. Like, I liked the little girl, and it gave him stakes. So you needed 5 years to give him a five-year-old. And then also you have 5 years of like the Hawkeye story, which, as we talked about, he didn't need. But that, I think that was their thought process, is that this is what he's been doing for 5 years. But I really think the five, because if it was 6 months later, if it was a year later, it would feel less destabilizing. But 5 years is a long time to adjust to people being gone and then have them all come back all at once. And then there's questions, too, of, I'm very curious what Spider-Man Far From Home does, because it seems like what we're going with is that it just so happens that Peter Parker, Ned, Flash Thompson, MJ, and every other major character that we loved just all happened to be dusted and all are just coming back and are all just 1 year. Like,
they're all the same age.
They're all the same. Because that's the other thing, too, is like, there's a lot of weird stuff to think about of like, okay, so if you had a younger brother that was 2 years younger than you and he's been gone for 5 years, you get disappeared and you're gone. He's now older than you, like when you come back, you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of weird shit like that, because the people who stayed aged 5 years and the people who disappeared didn't age 5 years. And yeah, what that does. Yeah,
totally. I mean, so, it would have been fun to see, any, Netflix MCU character show up, but they did not. And I get why. No big deal. However, this is just to point out that in those storylines, in no way, do the events of Marvel's The Avengers, the first Avengers movie, does it directly affect them. However,
yeah,
when someone discovers their powers, or discovers that one of them has powers or something, they note the event. That's what they call it, right?
I think so. Yeah.
I think they call it the event, which is the first Avengers movie, because it has to be acknowledged, because they all live in New York City and the shit went down in New York City. And so that's when they're introduced to these beings with powers. So they talk about it. They allude to the big green guy. They allude to the guy with the suit, the guy with the hammer. It's not fun the way they do it. Like, we're just acknowledging this thing. It actually is pertinent to them. Like, oh, you're one of them. You're one of these things that has the powers. And so, okay, that was a huge thing that happened. But this thing, half of everyone was gone for 5 years. And then those half of everyone came back. We're talking about 3.5 billion people disappeared and then reappeared 5 years later.
Yeah. And it would just, everything we've talked about would happen. But there's also just other shit that, like, again, and I think a lot of this is, I loved the show The Leftovers. I really dealt with just the human cost of the people disappearing, which this series understandably wasn't, you know, we got a hint of that, but they're not going to dwell on that. That show lasted for like 3 seasons. So that was all it was about. But like, religions would spawn up. Like, if people disappeared and then came back, that would be a new religion, like, to explain what happened. Like,
there would be people like praying to Thanos to show mercy on them and return their people.
There also would be, you know, with like modern internet troll culture, you know, or just understandably with maybe some of the stuff we're bringing up, there would probably be a not insignificant amount of people going like, they should be turned back to dust. Like, we don't want them. We don't want these people here. Like,
they got dusted for a reason.
Yeah, they got dusted for a reason. There would probably be backlash to, like, and definitely there's people, like, it was randomly 50%. Some of those people were probably shitty people, like, that people didn't want in their lives anymore, that are just back now. Like,
yeah, not to mention that when the dusting happened, there were people in first world nations that had nuke codes who said, just hit the fucking button.
Yeah.
It's over. We're done. Right. Are you kidding me? 3.5 billion people just disappeared, hit the goddamn button. We're finished. Right. Dunzo.
Or, yeah, there's even that scenario, too, of, like, the smaller personal scale of that. Of, like, yeah, say that you didn't go Hawkeye or whatever, but, like, your spouse disappeared. And so you took all the... You sold your house. You took all the money that you had. You just, like, blew it all. Because you were like, fuck it. There is no tomorrow. And then 5 years later, you're broke. And your spouse comes back. And you're like, well, I ruined everything for us, so...
Yeah, sure, sure. We're talking about mass suicide. I mean, there is is that mass human condition, and I think, I don't know, you guys. We're starting to get down into the depths of some shit here.
Right. But it would
there
be...
There's that human condition, and I won't speak to anything specifically, of this literally unbelievable thing. The thing you couldn't believe would happen happened, and then the next day you just get up and you carry on.
Yeah.
There is that thing. However, that thing has never been half of everyone is gone in an instant.
Well, but that, I think that's another just way to look at it, though, too, is so the people that disappeared, presumably for them, it's a matter of seconds. You disappeared. It seems like they were maybe aware that they disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
But then you come back, and for you, no time has passed, presumably. You were just nothing, and then now you're something again.
Not even presumably. Peter Parker confirmed everything you just said.
Yeah, so...
Remember I started to get all dusty, and then I woke up, and someone told me it had been 5 years.
Right, so that's happening for everyone. So for the people that disappeared, they're in essentially a not too much of a different emotional state than they were 5 years ago.
Right,
but... Everyone that they're coming back to is in a very different emotional state where they've processed the loss of this person. And so that's irreparable. Like, you're never gonna, like, you can overcome that, but that it fundamentally changed your relationship in a way that you can't go back. Like, I don't know. I think it's just something where I understand the choice to make it 5 years. It felt very jarring, as you said, to watch. It felt like a really bold choice. It gave us the Tony Stark daughter thing, which I think is a really cool thing. But I think this is stuff that, had this just been the end for real, if the this end. Is the last
if you,
movie.
If you make no more Marvel movies after this,
then you roll the credits.
A great decision.
Yeah,
sure.
You roll the credits and we don't have to think about it. But the fact that there's another phase to this, like, uh-huh. It really makes me wonder what they do going forward, especially. You know, we're also just in 2023 now. Like, are all movies for the next 4 years going to be set in 2023 until we catch up? Like, or jump around or what? Like, I don't know. But
we're
gonna
jump around. Like the Guardians of the Galaxy movie takes place in the past. I don't know. It could very well be that so does the Spider-Man movie. We don't know when exactly that takes place. There's a big enough gap.
But so it
he could be when we see Peter Parker on that school bus in Infinity War, he could be being driven home from his trip to Europe for all we know.
You know what? That's fair. I didn't think about it that way, but that's actually a fair point. Yeah, I guess it could take place between Spider-Man Homecoming and Infinity War. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, he would have been. Well, he would have to be coming home from. They wouldn't land in LaGuardia, but they couldn't have landed in JFK from the road that he was driving on. He wouldn't have landed in JFK.
Okay, now we're
in Queens.
We're super in the weeds. We're
that
now
angle of the city. I'm just saying.
We're so in the weeds, but it doesn't literally have to be that bus. But you're right that it could be between. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, I guess it could just be between Homecoming and Infinity War. Possibly,
it could be. I mean, look. Those logistics are easy to figure out as far as timeline, but yes, dealing with what has happened on not only this planet, but other planets we may visit of everyone was gone, half of everyone was gone, half of everyone
for
returned.
Five years. 5 years is such a, think about 5 years ago, like how different mm-hmm. the world was.
No, totally. And
we had a different president.
In this universe, as with every universe, when we travel in between planets, we don't actually deal with the fact that relativity is a thing. Because we don't know what years are on other planets and then traveling in between them. So we'll just throw that into the garbage can because we always do. But that's everyone would have to deal with that. So if it's acknowledged in a small way, then okay, but it should be acknowledged in a not small way.
Well, and especially because you've sort of created this thing where, like, I mean, Civil War was because Tony Stark sat there and went, like, we tried to save the world, but look at these unintended consequences of our actions. Uh-huh. We uh-huh. still hurt people. You kind of did that on a much bigger scale this time. And it's interesting, yep. too, because I feel like there's a little bit of, you know, Steve Rogers says, like, everyone else moved on, but we can't, or whatever. You know, there's something to that effect. And it's like, well, but what if that is true? What if everyone else did move on? Like, yeah. like, were you right to do this at this point?
I mean, yeah. I mean, even in this movie, we're still dealing with the reverberations of Sokovia, which right. was Sokovia. What happened was they obliterated a small portion of a third world, maybe second world country many, many years ago.
Right.
And they're still talking about it.
Yeah. No, you know? Destabilized the universe, you know.
Yeah. In stories that take place in New York City after the Avengers, where you're not... They're so far removed from the MCU that they're not allowed to say the names of the characters that exist in their universe. And they still have to acknowledge it because it doesn't make sense not to.
Right. Well, and
so
you even
do with this mess.
Well, you have shit too, like in Homecoming. I mean, the Vulture's entire arc is based on, I found scraps from that battle and I've used it to make weapons, you know,
yep.
like, yep. So it's just, it's interesting. And I think there is the question, you know, who knows? They may very well never want to address this, but there is an idea of, so from what I understand, to go back to the time travel thing of, like, it seemed like the idea was these Infinity Stones were holding shit together, that we couldn't have alternate time streams because the Infinity Stones corrected everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're destroyed. So, and you did create these. So, this 5 years later timeline, that's what I wonder. I don't know how much they'll address it, because you have sort of this paradox of, like, Steve Rogers went back in time to live with Peggy Carter. But, like, what is that reality that, like, presumably that's a different universe or a different timeline than we've seen if Steve Rogers just existed and was becoming an old man? Like, I don't know. There's a lot of, like, yeah, we don't need to.
Presumably it was, but he still knew what bench to sit on at what time in order to pass the shield.
Well, he's able to sit on that bench, so I guess that means something, that he's still connected to this timeline.
It has to be, but their yeah. timeline didn't change. Look, time travel's a mess.
Time travel is a mess. There's also, I was very unclear if we were supposed to believe that the reason that Thanos knew who Tony Stark was in Infinity War was because of the actions of this movie. I wasn't sure if that's what they were going for or not, because he says you're the only one who's burdened with knowledge. I don't know if that means that we're supposed to think that Thanos had, but that doesn't make sense. It honestly doesn't even make sense to explore that, because that the Thanos that knows that is turned to dust at the end of this movie, so he can't be the Thanos. I don't know. It's fucking, time travel is confusing.
It's confusing. I will say it kind of pissed me off that Sam is going to be the new Captain America and not Bucky. You went through all that shit to save that son of a bitch who has the same powers as you and also a vibranium arm, but you pass Captain America along to Sam, the guy with the backpack.
That did kind of feel like, because that's what happened in the comics. Was
it,
like,
is
the
what
vibe,
happened in the comics.
The vibe that
was,
I got. Yeah.
It was temporary in the comics.
Well, there's also, then there's the question of, so if Steve Rogers went back in time to live with Peggy Carter, doesn't he presumably know that Bucky is still being made to be the Winter Soldier that whole time, that he's just, like, living his, you know, happy life? Like, your friend's being tortured and killing people. You could probably save Tony Stark's parents. Like, you're back.
Well,
in
Steve had enough. Steve had enough of the Pym goo to come back into the future. So it could be that he lived a different timeline and then used the goo to come back to this timeline.
Like, he just took Peggy out of the timeline and took her somewhere else, like, to the future.
Well, he could have gone back, lived his entire life with Peggy in that timeline, and then when it came time that he wanted to come back and say goodbye and pass the shield or whatever, he used the goo and just leapt over there. I know you like leaping when you use the quantum realm.
Yeah. Was his last leap the leap home?
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was.
I would watch a Quantum Leap Steve Rogers pitch for a show where it was just like Steve Rogers time cop. He's just going around fixing stuff.
Okay, before we end, because we have to end.
We should
this
end.
Has been, look, you guys, we've said this many times before in this show, but for real, if you wanted a peek as to the conversations that this man have,
this was the closest
you'll ever get.
Yeah.
When we both look down and we're like, it's been 2.5 hours. What the fuck?
Normally, like, one of us is like sitting in our car parked in front of our apartment or something.
No,
like.
totally. Just shooting the shit. And then right before we part ways, we go, oh, by the way, how's your life? You good? And we go, yeah, I'm okay. I have some problems. I'll tell you about them later.
Yeah. And then we never do.
We never do. So the most important question is, of all the good guys, I mean, there were literal dozens of these good guys. We'll call them all Avengers because that's what Steve Rogers said.
Oh, dude. So, yeah, all the chills, by the way, for Avengers Assemble. It's such an easy moment, but God damn it, that worked.
Was good. And he said it under his breath, but doesn't make sense, but fuck it.
I don't care. No one could have heard anything. That battlefield would have been so loud. No one heard those conversations.
So, well, you know. Which one you taking home?
Oh,
you know what I mean? Which one?
I mean, I already admitted that between Thor and Valkyrie, it's a tough call.
Yeah.
So which I'm one? You. Do you have an answer?
I don't have an answer. I think it's actually kind of a rude question, but
it is a very rude. By the way, I do want to point out one more just random thought that I had, because that's what we need is more random tangents to go off on. But does it feel like maybe in this post James Gunn world where we all went from really loving Chris Pratt and being super excited that he was getting this breakout role to being a little annoyed with Chris Pratt because he's kind of annoying? Doesn't it seem like that's getting written into the movies? Like, everyone kind of shit on Star-Lord in this one. I was there for it, but like, there was definitely more of a vibe of like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, no, good call. There was more of a, it's always kind of been there, but it was extra there. It was almost like everyone had kind of heard the story of what he had done on Titan.
Yeah.
And they're like, this fucking guy.
Yeah, we could have avoided all of this.
We understand you were upset, but come on.
I did love the Nebula line about, like, because Gamora's like, this is the guy that I fell in love with. And the Nebula's like, well, it was either him or a tree.
Him or a tree.
Which he chose wrong.
Wait, you know what? That is my answer. Nebula is my answer.
Oh, Nebula's a good choice.
She's a good choice because you would have to earn it so hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And also the tragic backstory and triumphant on the other side. Oh, she is an inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah, she's good. They really did great work with that character. Like, I also,
which again, they didn't have to. She could have just been whatever. She could have been awesome robot lady.
Yeah. No, but everyone really worked. Yeah, I don't have a good answer, but
No, it was a rude question. It was either even ruder for me to answer. But you know what? That's where my sexuality stands. Nebula.
That's a good choice.
Cool.
So remember, question everything.
I'm questioning Nebula.
Springtime is leaving. Springtime is almost gone. The ruins of the sun are falling down, and I can feel the four winds song. The clouds take a bow, it's the end of the season, and here nothing shines upon. sun will begin a brand new today. So hurry up, dear, I'll be so far away. You know that I want you now. I have nothing more to say. It's the end of the season, and I'll wait for you today. Today. You know there's always an end. Now it's the end of the season, and I want you to start again. My dreams in my pocket, my songs in my hand. I've been loving you too long. Today could be the day. My witnesses were the songs I played. I would wait for you here. Or in another land. It's the end of the season, and everyone's coming on. It's the end of the season, and I need you to carry on. It's the end of the season.
Hobo Radio is a production of HoboTrashCan.com. If you enjoyed the show, please rate or review it on iTunes. Hear more great shows on the Peak Sloth Podcast Network, like this one.
We have to ask. It's a podcast where we answer the question, are you going to eat that?
What will you leave behind?
Why get out of bed?
Will you be our neighbor?
I'm Marty.
And I'm Jonathan.
We're two hosts.
Infinite universes.
We have to ask.
New interviews every Tuesday.
Find us on iTunes or online at wehavetoask.com or with the other great podcasts on the Peak Sloth Network at peaksloth.com.